Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, chapter 51. The last parak and this parak talks about the destruction of Babel at length. Though the Jewish people were punished and sent into exiles for their sin, the evil people of the world will receive their punishment for their behavior. Having had their sins atoned for, the Jewish people will return to Israel. This parak continues describing the destruction of Babel. The parak begins at verse 1, Hinini me'ir al Babel vel yoshvei, lev kamai, ruach mashchis. Behold, I will raise up against Babel and against them that dwell in lev kamai, a destroying wind. The word lev kamai is a reference to the Kazdim, using the letter replacement system called atbash. Lamed corresponds to kaf, bez is to shin, etc., just like Babel was called sheshach in previous prakim. Lev Kamai is an appropriate nickname, as the Kasdim raised their hearts against Hashem when destroying his Beis HaMikdash. Yirmiyahu tells the advancing army to use all of its military might and to have no pity on the young men of Babel to destroy them. There will be slain throughout the lands of the Kasdim, and they will fall in the streets as well. This is happening because, verse 5, Ki lo alman Yisrael v'Yehuda melokav me'Hashem tzvakos. For Israel is not widowed, nor Yehuda of his God, the Jewish people, still has a spouse who is alive who will protect them. Ki artzam mala asham mikadosh Yisrael. For the land of the Kasdim is full of guilt for what they did against the Holy One of Israel. The Kasdim violated the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash and used the holy vessels of the Beis HaMikdash for their own profane ends. As was described in the last parak, Yirmiyahu warns the other nations living in Babel to flee so that they would not get caught up in the punishment. Verse 6, Ki es nekama hi la Hashem gomol hu mishalem la. For it is the time of Hashem's vengeance, he will pay her back. The nekama is that Babel will get punished in this world in a manner that shows that its downfall is a direct result of how they treated the Jewish people. In the past, Babel had a purpose on the earth. They were, verse 7, Koz Zahav Babel, like a golden cup that was used to deliver wine, which is a metaphor for punishment to all the other nations. They were the tool Hashem used to punish others. But now, instead of being the aggressor, Babel, verse 8, Pitom nafla Babel vatishaver. Babel has suddenly fallen and been broken. At first, the other nations cry, Halilu aleha, they wail for her, as she protected them and they tried to restore the nation back to its power. The other nations soon realize that nothing will help Babel. Verse 9, Ki naga el hashamayim mishpata, for her judgment reaches the heavens. There is something in the stars that was determining Babel's fate, they think. They all decide to abandon Babel and go back to their own countries. While the other nations attribute the downfall of Babel to the heavens, the reaction of Israel is different. They say, verse 10, Hotzi Hashem et tzidkosenu. Hashem has brought forth our righteousness. Bo'u nesapra b'tzion es maseh Hashem Elokeinu. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of Hashem our God. They will share the news in Zion and with each other about Hashem's mastery over the world. He is Elokeinu, our God. They will recognize that everything is miraculous, done at the direction of Hashem. Yirmiyahu again tells the invading army, the kings of Media, to fill their quiver with arrows. Because Hashem is planning to destroy Babel, it will be as if the arrows fly themselves to their target as an act of nekama. Madai should plan to surround the walls of Babel, to guard against unplanned attacks from within the city, and prepare to ambush the city, because Hashem will execute his plans to destroy Babel. Yirmiyahu then addresses Babel itself. This city who gained its power from its location on the Euphrates River, verse 13, Ba kitzech, amas bitzech, your end is come, the measure of your violence. As much as they harmed others with violence, that is how they will face their end. The land will be overrun with soldiers who will be screaming, Hadad, who will be shouting against Babel, just as they did to others. Hashem can do this because he controls all of nature. Yirmiyahu uses the exact phrases he used before in Perek Yud describing Yehuda's punishment. Hashem can do this because of verse 15, Osei eretz b'kocho mechin tevel b'chachmaso uvisunaso natashamayim. He that made the earth by his power, established the world by his wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens by his discernment. One of the testaments to Hashem's power is the water cycle. This pasuk is part of our Psukei Dezimra of Shabbos, verse 16. Vayal nesia mikse eretz, brokim lematar asa, vayotze ruach meutzrosav. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning at the time of the rain and brings forth the wind out of his treasuries. In contrast, man does not have any true power. Whatever man creates and ascribes powers to, ki sheker nisko velo ruach bam, his molten image is falsehood and there is no breath in them. Verse 19, lo ke'ela chelek Yaakov ki yotzer hakol hu. The portion of Yaakov is not like these other nations with idols, for Hashem is the former of all things. Having made the whole world serves Hashem, and he directs his nation in a way that is unique to them. V'shevet nachlaso Hashem tzvakos Hashemo. Israel, this is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Tzvakos means, in the words of Rav Schwab on Tfilah, that all the creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the microscopic to the cosmic, are part of the tzava, the army of Hashem. Every component of this army was given its rank, its place and purpose of existence. With Hashem controlling every part of nature, we are never alone. Hashem is using all of nature to fight on behalf of Bnei Yisrael, unlike idols or any physical thing that has no true power. Hashem addresses Bavel in verse 20. Himapetzata li, klei milchama, you are my maul and my weapon of war. Hashem used them as a tool, not that they had any independent power. In verses 21 to 23, Hashem says, V'nifatzti v'cha, I will use you to shatter the horses and riders, chariots, men, women, old and young men and women, shepherds with their flock, a farmer with his oxen, governors and deputies, all manners of society, all levels of society and power. After all that destruction, where they were used as a tool, verse 24, V'shilamti levavel, ulechol yoshvei kastim, eskol ra'asam, asher asu v'sion. I will pay back to Bavel and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Sion. Instead of gathering war against Yehuda, war is now being gathered against Bavel. The words in verse 27 are similar to the nevuos that we have heard against Bavel in Perek Vav, chapter 6. Both in Perek Vav and in Perek Nun Aleph, a shofar is blown to prepare the nation. Daryavesh and Koresh will be the ones to carry out the battle. Kitshu aleha goyim, prepare the nations against her. Bavel will retreat from the battlefields to fight in the city. Finally, just like happened with Yehuda, after a siege, Bavel's palaces are set on fire and the locks to the city are broken. The changes come quickly, verse 31. Rutz lekras, rutz yarutz, umagid lekras magid. One runner meets another and one messenger meets another. The news changes so quickly until that the messengers keep meeting each other with new messages to share. And the news changes until they tell the king of Bavel that Nelkada iro mikatze, his city is taken in every quarter. The water passages are seized, so no one can get in and out that way. There was swampland next to the river near the city, which was burnt to make sure that no one was hiding there and to provide an easy path for the invading army. Verse 33, Bas Bavel kegoren es hidricha. The daughter of Bavel is like a threshing floor at the time when it is trodden. All the nations will be coming through the city, grinding whatever is there down to nothing. Od ma'at uva'a es katsirla. In a little while, the time of harvest shall come for her. After the harvest, the threshing floor has nothing left. Bavel will be empty. Sion remembers what Nebuchadnezzar did to them, verse 34. Ochalani ha-mamani, Nebuchadnezzar melch Bavel. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, devoured me and crushed me. He took everything Yehuda owned and left them as an empty vessel. He acted like a sea serpent, chewed them up and spit them out. Bavel was so violent that, V'dami el yoshvei kastim, my blood is on the inhabitants of the kastim. Hashem comforts the people, verse 36. Hinini rav esrivech nikamti es nikmasech. Behold, I will fight your fight, and I will take your vengeance. All that will be left of Bavel is a mound. Even today, Bavel, Babylon, is an architectural dig, but nothing more has developed there. When one sees the size of the rooms and the beauties of the mosaic, it is still a shama usreka, an astonishment and a hissing. Instead of Bavel being the cup of wine that delivers punishment, Bavel will drink this wine, verse 39. V'hishkartim leman yalozu v'yashnu shnas olam. I will make them drunk in order that they will become joyful and sleep a perpetual sleep and not awaken. This happened quite literally. Bavel was conquered on the night Belshazzar made a huge party and their feast turned into mourning. instead of the Jews being the lambs to slaughter, verse 40, Oridem kecharim litfoach, I will bring down Babel like lambs to the slaughter. Yirmiyahu asks rhetorically, verse 41, Ech nekoda Sheshach, how was Sheshach, another name for Babel, was captured? Something that was so praised on this earth, it was one of the world's wonders, was seized. This is a shock. After Babel was burnt and destroyed, it was as if it was flooded with a number of soldiers who entered it. Verse 42, Allah al Babel hayam bahamon galav nechsasa. The sea came up on Babel. She is conquered with the multitude of waves on her. The idols will be destroyed. The wealth that was looted from other nations will be seized by others. The walls that were so powerful will fall. These walls were an engineering marvel, and they took a lot of effort to destroy. Yirmiyahu then tells the nation not to be scared from all the news. When rumors come, and there is, verse 42, V'chamas ba'aretz, u'moshel al-moshel, Moshel, there's violence in the land, and each ruler is fighting against another ruler. This is the battle between two countries. It won't impact them negatively, even though they are a minority living in this land. The conflict will be to their benefit. When Babel, with its idols, finally falls into the hands of Paras and Madai from the north, verse 48, V'rinenu al Babel shamayim v'aretz v'chal asher bahem, the heaven and earth and all that is in there shall sing for joy over Babel, because they will be slain, just as they killed Yehuda. The universe has been set right with the correct punishment meted out to the correct people. Now those in Bnei Israel who managed to escape from the sword should not just stand around. They should take this opportunity, verse 50, Zechru merachokes Hashem, remember Hashem who is far away. They are in Babel, and they should remember what service they were able to do in the Beis HaMikdash, and v'Yerushalayim taleh al levavchem, let Yerushalayim come into your mind so that they may mourn for it. Remembering the glory of the Beis HaMikdash is challenging for them and painful because they're ashamed that their actions caused the strangers, the enemies, to come into the Beis HaMikdash. At this point of the parak, Yirmiyahu is going to comfort the people who are feeling ashamed, using much of the same language we have seen before to encourage them to return to Hashem and go back to Israel. Hashem is avenging what Babel did in the Beis HaMikdash and will destroy all of its possessions. Even if Babel, verse 53, Kisale Babel Hashemayim, should Babel ascend to the heaven, and should she fortify the height of her strength, meaning she builds very tall towers, Hashem will still destroy the Kastim and all of its strong men. Verse 56, Kikel Gmulos Hashem Shalem Yishalem, for Hashem is a God who pays back. He will surely retaliate. The thing that most represented the strength of Babel was its thick walls decorated with fierce lions. They will be our heir tisarar, utterly overthrown. The imposing gates will be burned in fire. They will try to put out the fire, but will be unable to. These people invested all their efforts to build this edifice so that they would be remembered. In the end, nothing of value exists from their empire. The parak ends with Yirmiyahu giving a command to Seraiah ben Neriah when he went with Tzidkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, to Babel in the fourth year of Tzidkiyahu's reign. Seraiah was the prince of tribute. Until now, Nebuchadnezzar would come to the region to collect his tribute. In this fourth year, says the Rabbi Landi, because of the politics in Babel, Nebuchadnezzar stayed in Babel and Tzidkiyahu had to come to him. At that time, many of Tzidkiyahu's allies were trying to convince Tzidkiyahu to rebel and join with Mitzrayim against Babel. Yirmiyahu told Tzidkiyahu not to rebel, but instead he wrote all the bad nevuos that were contained in these two prakim that would happen eventually to Babel in one book. Yirmiyahu told Seraiah that when he got to Babel with Tzidkiyahu, he should make sure to read all of these nevuos when he was in that city. When he finishes reading the book about the destruction of Babel and how it would exist without any inhabitants, he should take this book, this sefer, tie it to a rock and toss it into the Euphrates River so that it would sink. Verse 64, V'amarta kacha tishka Babel, and you should say, so Babel shall sink. And it shall not rise again because of the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be tired. They will never again be able to get strong. In this parak, we learned that Babel will face its bitter end and will be punished midah keneged midah, measure for measure, for the evil it did against Yehuda and the other nations. This nevuah was read by Seraiah when he went to Babel, and the nevuah was then thrown into the river. One lesson we can learn from this perek is that even in our darkest times, we need only look at the clouds and the rivers to remind ourselves that everything that happens in this world is done by Hashem for a purpose. The water cycle, and indeed all of nature, testifies that Hashem has the army of every living being and every object that is working with him to bring about the purpose of creation. Lo alman Yisrael. In this perek, we heard that Yisrael is never a widow. No matter how dire things appear, we should know that Hashem is still connected with us and will never abandon us. Whether it be the tuition crisis, the teacher's crisis, the shidduch crisis, or even anti-Semitism, Ukrainian refugees, war, and terrorism, we will always be faced with challenges that seem insurmountable. It may be insurmountable for other nations facing these issues, but we have Hashem Tzvakos, a God who will muster all of creation to help us survive. We should turn to him with faith as our Father and King. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas, Alexander Sender.